You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 233, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we will read number 6, Jesus Reaches the First Tent City of the Star Worshippers. When Jesus, with the three youths, left Sidar, Nazor, the ruler of the synagogue, who traced his origin up to Tobias, Salathiel, Eliud, and the youth, Titus, accompanied him a good part of the way. They crossed the river and passed through the pagan quarter of the city, in which, just at that time, a pagan feast was being celebrated and sacrifice was being offered in front of the temple. The road ran first eastward and then to the south through a plain that lay between two high mountain ridges, sometimes over heaths, again over yellow or white sand, and sometimes over white pebbles. At last, they reached a large, open tract of country covered with verdure, in which stood a great tent among the palm trees, and around it many smaller ones. Here Jesus blessed and took leave of his escort, and then continued his journey a while longer toward the tent city of the star worshippers. The day was on its decline when he arrived at a beautiful well in a hollow. It was surrounded by a low embankment, and near it was a drinking ladle. The Lord drank and then sat down by the well. The youths washed his feet, and he in turn rendered them the same service. All was done with childlike simplicity, and the sight was extremely touching. The plain was covered with palm trees, meadows, and at a considerable distance apart there were groups of tents. A tower or terraced pyramid of pretty good size, still not higher than an ordinary church, arose in the center of the district. Here and there, some people made their appearance and from a distance gazed at Jesus in surprise, not unmingled with awe, but no one approached him. Not far from the well stood the largest of the tent houses. It was surmounted by several spires and consisted of many stories and apartments connected together by partitions, some grated, others merely of canvas. The upper part was covered with skins. Altogether, it was very artistically made and very beautiful. From this tent castle, five men came forth, bearing branches, and turned their steps in the direction of Jesus. Each carried in his hand a branch of a different kind of fruit. One had little yellow leaves and fruit, another was covered with red berries, a third was a palm branch, one bore a vine branch full of leaves, and the fifth carried a cluster of grapes. From the waist to the knees, they wore a kind of woolen tunic, slit at the sides, on the upper part of the body a jacket wide and full, made of some kind of transparent woolen stuff, with sleeves that reached about halfway to the elbow. They were of fair complexion, had a short black beard and a long curling hair. On their head was a sort of spiral cap, from which depended many lappets around their temples. They approached Jesus and his companions with a friendly air, saluted them, and while presenting to them the branches they held in their hands, invited them to accompany them back to the tent. The vine branch was presented to Jesus, the one who acted as guide carrying a similar one. On entering the tent, Jesus and his companions were made to sit upon cushions, trimmed with tassels, and fruit was presented to them. Jesus uttered only a few words. The guests were then led through a tent corridor lined with sleeping chambers containing couch beds and furnished with high cushions, to that part of the tent in which was the dining hall. In the center of the hall rose the pillar that supported the tent, and around it were twined garlands of leaves and fruits, vine branches, apples, and clusters of grapes, all so natural in appearance that I cannot say whether they really were natural or only painted. Here the attendants drew out a little oval table, about as high as a footstool. It was formed of light leaves that could be opened quickly, and its feet separated into two supports. They spread under it a colored carpet, upon which were representations of men like themselves, and placed upon it cups and other table furniture. The tent was hung with tapestry, so that no part of the canvas itself could be seen. When Jesus and the young disciples stretched themselves on the carpet around the table, the men in attendance brought cakes, scooped out in the middle, all kinds of fruit and honey. The attendants themselves sat on low, round folding stools, their legs crossed. Between their feet they stood a little disc supported on a long leg, and on the disc they laid their plate. They served their guests themselves, turn about the servants remaining outside the tent with everything that was necessary. I saw them going to another tent and bringing thence birds, which had been roasted on a spit in the kitchen. This last-named apartment consisted merely of a mud hut, in which was an opening in the roof to let out the smoke from the fire on the hearth. The birds were served up in quite a remarkable manner. They were, but I know not how it was done, covered with their feathers, and looked just as if they were alive. The meal over, the guests were escorted by five men to their sleeping rooms, and there the latter were quite amazed at seeing Jesus washing the youth's feet, which service they rendered him in return. Jesus explained to them its signification, and they resolved to practice in future the same act of courtesy. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. So today we have a shorter reading, and we're coming to the end of Volume 3, and as I was looking at the schedule, it looks like we're doing about 5 to 6 pages, I think, every day now, for the most part. So there are probably going to be a little shorter segments here, approaching the end of Volume 3. As I look first at this opening sentence, it says that the youth Titus accompanied him a good part of the way. Now, it doesn't say who Titus is, but it makes me wonder if this is the Titus that will be associated with Paul in ministry, that this Titus knows Jesus and will become associated in the ministry, and Paul will then hook on to Titus, and I don't know. I don't know if Titus was a common name or what have you, but that was just a thought that came to my mind. It says that as they were going through this quarter of the city, it was just at that time a pagan feast was being celebrated and sacrifice was being offered in front of the temple. These false sacrifices to false gods. We are waiting for Jesus to make the ultimate and final sacrifice. There's something there. The true God passing by as the worship of false gods is taking place. And it says, too, that as the people came forth from the tent, five men came forth bearing branches and turned their steps in the direction of Jesus. Well, that's a good orientation to be in, turning our steps towards Jesus. do we turn our steps? Do we turn our attention to the Lord? And finally, as I read at the beginning of this section today of number 6, and in our next readings, we'll pick up with other little subsections of this one. But as I was thinking about it, you know, just in the reflection yesterday, or in our immediate previous reading, I said that the star worshipers, as they called them, I made reference to the three kings, the Magi, that they saw the stars. And, you know, yesterday's reading, it says that they saw the stars and Jesus said that they came and they visited him. And I realized, well, maybe it doesn't have to be the Magi. That maybe it actually is other individuals, others who saw the same star that the Magi saw, and that those stargazers, they followed the star and they saw Jesus. So I'll be interested to know, you know, if this is, in fact, the Magi. And hopefully in our readings that as they continue over the next few days or what have you, that we will come to know this fact ourselves. And just as I'm ruminating with you right now over this, I can't help but wonder, well, what happened to those three Magi? They go home, returning to God by a different way. What comes to them at the end of their life? Do they die before the crucifixion? How old were they? Lots of questions I have there. And I know Father Dwight Longenecker wrote a book about the Magi, and maybe it's time for me to find that book in storage and pull it off and see what came of the Magi. I'm sure there are Christian traditions. I'm just not familiar with them. I know some of you listeners, you're very good at sending me things, getting to me, leaving comments when there's something to share. So maybe we can look this up together. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.